Welcome, everybody, to the First Newsmakers Podcast. I'm Kyle Gregorio, Managing Editor of the News. This podcast will interview the movers and shakers of the HVAC industry. Today, we welcome in Ray Isaac, President of Isaac Heating and Air Conditioning in upstate New York. The NATE Chairman and the past ACCA Chairman will discuss NATE's search for a president, the proposed Homestar legislation, and the Jersey Shore. Enjoy and see you on the other side. We'd like to bring in Ray Isaac, President of Isaac Heating and Air Conditioning in upstate New York. Thanks for joining us today, Ray.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Great. I know you wear many hats in the HVAC industry, but the first one I'd like to talk to you about is that of NATE. As NATE Chairman, you, I assume, are involved in the search for the new president to replace interim president Dave Finnear. Where are you guys in that process at this point?
We are very close to naming an individual and selecting that that person. We have some final details to work out still, but I'm excited about the anticipation of that announcement. We're on track as far as our timeline goes. We wanted to have an individual in place before our fall board of directors meeting, which is the week of the 20th. And so we are on track with that, and we're right on schedule, and we're excited about possibly having that individual present at the board meeting to introduce them to the board. And again, I should say it's a big thank you to Paul Stalnick, who was the chairman of the search committee. He did a stellar job in keeping us on track and making sure we met our deadlines.
Great. How many candidates did you have, and what were you guys specifically looking for in a new president?
We had a number of candidates. Final interviews, I think we conducted about five or six final interviews, the committee as well, and the individuals that we were interviewing face-to-face in a group interview, which worked out pretty well. And any candidate that could make it through that interview process was worth consideration, obviously. That's not an easy thing to have five people shooting questions at you.
Sure.
But, you know, what we were looking for really is a change agent. We need a leader that's going to institute, instigate, initiate, and all those other I words, change into NATE. We have a great opportunity. We have a wonderful position that NATE is in, really, in its acceptance and support from the entire industry, whether it be contractors, wholesalers, and distributors, as well as the manufacturers and educational entities. We really have a unique position that NATE is in, and we need to make the most of that. We are looking for really a motivated individual, but one that was not afraid to, I guess, question the status quo. We're looking for some background experience in improving operations wherever they had been, some track history and records of changing organizations for the better. We don't want to change something just to change it, but we want somebody who is a visionary and can see where NATE should be, not where it is right now and where it could be.
Sure.
And really, you know, not necessarily, you know, the position that NATE is currently in. I mean, yeah, we're in a great position now, but we need to look at, you know, where the ball is going to be, not where it is and where the receiver is going to be at this point.
Well, you find someone to meet all those qualifications. You guys did a pretty good job.
Yeah. No, we did. And again, I'm excited. We just don't want to announce any final decisions yet until we have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, and we've informed our board and our executive committee of the final decision.
Sure. At this point, do you have any short and long term goals for NATE, or is that something for the president to establish when he comes in?
Well, I think that would be something that the new president would want to be involved and engaged in, because if we set some goals and they are not this person's goals and what they feel are priorities for the organization after they've had a chance to analyze it and do some digging in and looking between the the cracks and seeing what's in there, you know, we're not going to have that buy-in that we should have. Obviously, I think that the first thing we'll probably do, just for their benefit, is what they call a SWOT analysis from the strategic planning guidebook of strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and really do an analysis of NATE. Where do all these things lie, and what do we do to maximize our strengths and our opportunities and really eliminate the weaknesses and the threats to us? I'm sure that the new leader orientation will give them some background and allow them to have a better assessment as well as a better handle on what they see as the new direction for Nate. And I don't think we're going to see any drastic changes. Obviously, we're pretty confined by what we do and how we do it. And that's the beauty of Nate. It's very simple, but it's very pure. It's very valid in the certification process that Nate provides. That we don't provide training, we don't provide education. We are simply a heating and air conditioning, ventilation, refrigeration certification entity. That's pretty pure. But there's a lot of a lot of opportunity in the simplicity of that.
Right. Good to hear. Changing gears a little bit, also wanted to talk some industry news with you. I know you're a member of ACCA and actually a past president or past chairman of ACCA.
Past chairman,
and,
yes.
They've come out against the Homestar legislation that it's currently written. I've heard from some contractors that are praying that it will pass and some who see a lot of flaws in the legislation. Where are you on this topic?
Well, we did a nice webinar, ACCA did, and I think that is available. I know it's obviously available to ACCA members as well as I think it's available to the general public, I believe. But in that, we gave a pretty good summary of the topic and as well as the ACCA position on it, and I also talked at length about how I saw it. You know, bottom line is this is just the current Homestar. There's going to be other Homestars, whatever name is on them. You know, the government has kind of put it out there that they're interested and involved in trying to stimulate the variety of areas, not just the economy, but energy efficiency and the green movement. And I think this is just a current rendition of that. You know, the bottom line is, though, that you need to be prepared because this is the future of our industry. It's the future of what we will be doing. It's not just going to be going in and installing a furnace or air conditioner. It's going to be looking at the house as a system. And this is kind of an indication that this is the future we're headed in. We need to be prepared as an industry for that and really do the best job possible to, prepare ourselves and position ourselves as an industry to be the provider of those services. Otherwise, somebody else is, and they're already out there doing it. There's windows and insulation and a whole host of other entities out there that are getting involved in this initiative, and we need to be there as well. And I guess back to ACCA, I wouldn't necessarily say they're against Homestar, but really they're concerned with some of the provisions that could be detrimental to the membership of ACCA, which is primarily small businesses, and how to overcome those challenges and those obstacles and make it something that's going to be open and workable for all types of businesses, not just a specific segment of them.
Sure. Are there one or two concerns that you could rattle off for some of our listeners that might not be fully immersed in the subject?
Well, the first one is the rebate process where the contractor is providing an instant rebate to the customer when they make the purchase. And after they do the installation, it's coming right off the sale price, and then the contractor applies to a rebate aggregator who then applies, I believe, to the government to get the rebate back, and then they go back and they reimburse the contractor. And that could be a considerable amount of money. It really can. And I've talked to a number of people that were involved in the auto sales and dealership industry, and a few of my friends are auto dealers, and the cash for clunkers really put a hit on their books for quite a while. That was a liability that was out there, and it's considered an asset, but it's a liability when it's affecting your ability to make your payments at the end of the month. But that accounts receivable, when you're trying to wait for money from an entity that is twice removed through a rebate aggregator and then through the government, that can be challenging. And that isn't something that just affects small businesses. That affects a business of any size because it's all relative to the size of the business. If we do one job and we're going to be waiting for a rebate on one job, that's one thing. But if we do 10 jobs because we're a larger contractor, we're going to be waiting for the rebate on 10 jobs. So it's all proportionate to the size of the contractor. So I wouldn't say it's just disadvantage to the small people. It's a disadvantage to the larger contractors too, because it's just it's all, you know, relative to the size of that contractor and how many jobs they're doing. And it's exponential when you start getting real big, because you have even more jobs out there that are waiting for the rebates back, and it can be just as harmful to a larger contractor as it can be to a smaller one.
Sure, and our government isn't known for being lightning quick on returning our money to us, are they?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my check.
All right, well, thanks for the insight. Let's talk a little bit about your company, Isaac Heating and Air Conditioning, third generation business servicing Rochester and Syracuse, New York, right?
Yeah, that is correct, as well as Elmira, New York, and then we have another small branch in Avon, which is just south of the city here, about a half hour's drive.
Okay, how was business for you this year, and how you've been able to overcome the slow economy?
There's a speaker I listened to through another group that I belong to. His name is Boaz Rauschwiliger. If you can pronounce that and even spell it, you're doing pretty well. But he always said, when somebody asks you how something is, say unbelievable. Whether it's good or bad, if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. But for us, really, we, as a business, as Isaac Heating and Air Conditioning, we had a record year last year in sales, and our profit was healthy and as well. So we not only sold a lot, we made a respectable profit on it. And really, it comes down to my definition of luck, and that's where preparation meets opportunity. We just have a great crew of people here, and I know it's a common thing that when you talk to a lot of business owners, you know, they put it all back on their people. But we really do. We hire professionals. We train them to be technicians and mechanics, and we have motivated people. You don't motivate people. You can inspire them, and all we needed to do was just inspire that crew that, look, we're going into a little bit tougher time. What can we do to beat it and make an opportunity out of it? And really, they're the ones that took the advantage of the opportunities that existed. And, you know, if you look at the economy right now, your furnace can offer a better return on your investment than your stock portfolio. So
absolutely,
it's not a bad investment to invest in high efficiency. If you can save 20% off what you currently have in there, you know, I know some money markets that aren't returning us 1%. So
absolutely,
put your money into high efficiency.
I was going to ask you, because I know green's a buzzword you hear every time you turn on the TV and open a newspaper. Do you find that people are really interested in that? Is the customer interested in the high-efficiency products at this point?
They are. It's funny. I wrote an article for the ACCA Contractor Excellence magazine a couple of years ago about green, and I think it still holds true now. The point of the article was, don't forget about the one type of green while chasing the other, meaning, you know, green backs while you're chasing green efficiency. And I see right now customers are concerned about green because of the other type of green. It's important, but in my opinion, it's really how much money they can save and how much money they can get back on rebates and incentives. And we've seen a perfect case study of that in our area, where we have a great state-run program through NYSERDA and using the BPI model, home energy, and we've been very active in that. But we see people that are not as interested in that when the local utility offers a greater rebate on just replacing a piece of equipment. So I think we still see a mindset in the public that where they're chasing whatever's going to give them the biggest rebate, and a lot of times that's the upfront rebate. Efficiency is important, and I can say it isn't, but just from my assessment, what my my people are telling me, that you know, they're really interested in what they're going to save right off the bat, and you know, what the rebates and the credits and the tax incentives are, versus is this 94% versus 90, and is it a whole home assessment? Yeah, and that is a great approach. We're seeing a lot of interest in that because people don't want to throw the money out that they're, you know, getting back, and they want to make sure that they're winning on both ends. But you know, you just got to be slow and steady on that, and we're actually working on a model internally here at our company to overcome the challenge when the rebates dry up and when they go away. And that's going to really be the acid test. When the rebates do not exist anymore and the incentives are not there, how are we going to really push and sell the home energy efficiency and the home assessments that we're currently in when when there really isn't that seed money there and that help from the government, from the utilities and other entities, that it has to stand on its own. So we're working heavily on a model like that.
Okay, great. Those are good points. Interesting stuff. Well, I got some good news from you. You did well enough in this interview to advance the lightning round.
Oh, great. Wow.
We like to call it five questions. Are you ready for a few questions?
Yeah, shoot. Go ahead.
All right. I know you're up in upstate New York, football season right here. I was wondering how the Buffalo Bills are going to do this year, and is there are you guys missing T.O. up there?
Next question. I have been a Bills fan since, I think, 1972. I was 6 years old, and I learned to like the Buffalo Bills. So I've seen more challenging times throughout my life with the Buffalo Bills. They are, you know, my prediction is they are 1 to 2 years out from having a very good team.
Okay.
They really are. Just looking at the team, they're 1 to 2 years out from having a good team. And the reason I say that is they have, I think, a very good general manager and an excellent coach in place right now that they breathe, eat, sleep, drink, talk, think only about football, and everything else comes second. And as a sponsor of the Buffalo Bills and a company that deals with them on different opportunities for marketing and advertising, believe me, they are all about football right now, and everything else comes second. So it's good to see. I think they're going to put a good product on the street.
Good.
And no, we're not missing T.O. Ocho Uno, I think it is now.
I'm recording this in Detroit, so as a Lions fan, yeah. I have no no reason to judge anybody else.
Who are you calling out on this?
Absolutely. All right, question two. The best experience you had this summer?
God, so many of them. It was just a fantastic summer. Watching my son's travel soccer team, win the league again for the second time in a row. Just watching a group of kids come together and really play as professionals. I think a lot of adults could learn from the way these kids play and how they conduct themselves. And I just thought about all those things as I was watching them play and win, and how they won with dignity and pride, but with consideration for the other teams.
Sounds great. Question three, how many cast members of the Jersey Shore can you name?
The Jersey Shore, is that the suburb of New York? the only reason I can do this is because my 13-year-old son and my wife watch it. I think there's a guy called The Situation, which I still can't figure it out. And somebody's name who I hear all the time, and I don't know, somebody said it this morning driving, Snooki, I think.
There you go, that's two.
If you ask me what she looks like, I probably couldn't tell you, but I've heard the name.
Hey, two, that's pretty impressive. Or maybe not, I'm not quite sure, however you want to take the question. Question four, you can have dinner with any three people, dead or alive. Who do you choose?
Oh, wow. First would be, you probably don't get this one, John Adams.
Okay.
I mean, here is one of the creators and the authors of the Bill of Rights, or the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, and really our political system and the foresight and the vision that he had and how he interacted with people back then, it just amazed me. I read the book and that just intrigued me more to, you know, how up to date they were and the right vision they had. I think I would have been totally lost, and I probably would having dinner with them. The other two, I don't know. There's so many of them. I'm sure that they've probably are dead, not alive. Dead with Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. I really admired the individual, and I think he was a great, fantastic president, and really took the country in a great direction. And the third one, it's got to be a sports person in there somewhere, right? Who would I want to have as a sports person? It's got to be a baseball player. Probably Mickey Mantle.
There you go. That'd be some good conversation going on the table.
Yeah, if all three of them were there at the same time, that's for sure.
There you go. All right, fifth and final question. If you were not in the HVAC industry, what career would Ray Isaac have?
Probably a pro golfer, but the fact that I'm in the HVACR industry means that I have no aspirations to be a pro golfer, because at least I can make a living in heating and air conditioning.
There you go.
My golf game would need too much work to even survive.
Sounds good. Okay, Ray, I'll let you get back to work, but we really appreciate you taking the time and filling us in about the industry and a little bit of personal stuff, too.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed it.
Okay, thanks, Ray.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right. Thanks to Ray Isaac for taking the time today, and thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you have any comments or suggestions for the podcast, please visit www.achrnews.com/podcast. And be sure to check out the News Update podcast for the latest happenings in the industry. Good times, everybody.